It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Tuesday, Styles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m. Got Simone behind the glass with us today. As we break down all things Kings, all things A's, we will see what happens with the A's today. Any announcements that may or may not come out, we will be all over it and let you know what the next steps are for the Oakland A's. Also, the men's and women's Final Four are all set, and it was a crazy night last night. Chris Watkins, how you doing?
Great, yeah, feeling good. There were some good games yesterday. Definitely lived up to the hype. At least that first game definitely did. And you know, yeah, it's I don't know how to feel about today's Kings game. I'm both excited, nervous, scared. Just all of the emotions heading into tonight. Don't really know what to expect. Don't really know what we're gonna get. But it's definitely going to be a step closer towards finding the answer of how much hope, I guess, we should really be feeling down the stretch here. It definitely feels like a really big game tonight.
Yeah, and the thing about the Kings and Clippers, and when you beat a team like the Jazz, this feels like the first real test.
Exactly.
This feels like the first real test because it more so represents the type of teams that the Kings are going to be facing with these last eight games versus only four more home games, four more away games. Feels like this season has flown by, man.
Yeah, no, definitely. It both feels like it's flown by, and it feels like it's taken forever at the same time. But definitely now that we're at the end of it, I mean, it's counting down, right? It's there's eight games left, and then after tonight there's seven, and then you know, by the time we're talking next week, we're going to be saying there's four games left in the season. And so, you know, yeah, it moves fast this time of year. You know, it's why we talk throughout the season of these guys dropping games, why it's so important in the middle of the season. It might not feel like it's that important, but in a time like right now, you really start to feel all of the times that you snuck games in your favor, but also the amount of times that you blew games. It all comes to a head at this point in the season, and all you can really do is play your best basketball and hope to stay healthy. And we've seen that, you know, that's really what the Kings are dealing with right now. They're playing really well, especially on the defensive end, but these injuries have stacked up to something that, you know, has kind of led to a lot of questions about how this team is going to perform the rest of the way. And then, you know, how far can they even get without a guy like Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter in their lineup? Again, tonight is really the first true test that we have to see. All right, we've seen this Kings team step up and play really well against the best teams in the NBA all season long. Do they still have that punch in them?
Yeah, and we discussed yesterday as far as the wing issue that the Clippers represent, and we're not talking about fire wings here.
No.
We're talking about Kawhi Leonard.
They are some fire wings, though.
They are some fire wings. Lemon pepper, shout out. Come on. You're dealing with Paul George.
Yeah.
And you're dealing with Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
And you're to the point now, Chris, where I know it might feel a little bit simplified, and we'll get into pocket watching a little bit later in the show, but you lose this game tonight meanwhile, the Lakers are in the six. They do have to go to Toronto, but we know Toronto has just been very, terrible. Very bad. You start looking at this being a danger zone of the nine seed or the 10 seed, which is crazy because – as much as I think it feels confusing because we know that the Kings did trick off some games this season, but I don't know if most Kings fans feel like if you look at the season in a vacuum, it feels like they performed better than to be on the cusp of looking straight at the nine seed in the face. Doesn't feel like they played that poorly. But that's just what the Western Conference was this season.
No, exactly. That's 100% what it is. You're right. Like the Kings have definitely, like you said, we can acknowledge that they've tricked off some games. Definitely there's been some disappointment in terms of, you know, the offense this year hasn't looked like it has last year. And I would say overall, just the level of disappointment is definitely more this year than it was last year for expectations and tons of other reasons. But at the same time, it hasn't been that bad. Like they still are 12 games above 500. that feels like a team where, yeah, you know, you definitely didn't capitalize on all the opportunities. And, you know, yeah, you could probably say, hey, if we win these three or four games here, maybe we could have been a top four seed. But that doesn't necessarily mean that if that's the case, well, then you should be all the way at the bottom of the West.
Right.
Usually that means, okay, you're probably going to be a seven seed. Maybe you can be a little frisky or maybe even a six seed and still have a first round upset. But to be, because you're completely right. If the Kings lose tonight, Lakers win against Toronto, we're talking about pretty much they would be a half game above the Lakers. Yeah. And then looking at the Lakers schedule, they play the Wizards next. So there's an opportunity to maybe leapfrog the Kings. Then their schedule gets a bit harder. They end the season with Cavs, Wolves, Warriors, Grizzlies, Pelicans. So it's not the easiest strength of schedule at the end. We know the Kings have a tough schedule too, but you're starting to put yourself in that situation where we've been talking about. These are, on paper, these games are supposed to be easy wins, but we've seen that that's not always how it shakes out. And so, you know, it just puts a lot of pressure to take care of what you're supposed to take care of and then, you know, maybe sneak together a win that maybe you weren't supposed to get. And like we went through the schedule yesterday for the Kings, Kings probably aren't going to be favored in a lot of their matchups down the stretch here. So they're kind of fighting an uphill battle. And they again, they cannot perform. You shouldn't be able to tell that they're missing Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter if they want to stay afloat above that nine. Because you're right, the Lakers really are. It doesn't feel like it right now, but they are right on their heels, a game and a half back.
No, they are. And you're looking here as the Kings are about to kick off what's going to be a tough road ahead. Because after this, that's when they go
on the road.
That's when they go on the road for that back-to-back we've literally been talking about. Yep. For about 2 months now of the Knicks and the Celtics. Now, the Knicks aren't going to have OG Anunoby, who they did have when they faced off in Sacramento. But OG, we know what he does defensively. Offensively, he couldn't hit anything.
He's trash, right?
So it's not as if they're going to be missing his offense in that way. But you're looking at a situation where if the Kings lose tonight and then the Lakers win, the Lakers, their next game is the Wizards. And then right after that, the Kings are starting that back-to-back on Thursday, where they're at Knicks, at Celtics. This could get pretty scary.
Yeah.
This could get pretty scary, especially looking at a Lakers team who you never even lost to.
Yeah, right.
This
that's
season.
Insane. That is,
you never even lost to them.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that's why it's so important to win your season series, because without that, I mean, yeah, even if the Kings split against the Lakers would have the season advantage right now. So that's why it's so important to win those games throughout the year. But it's really scary, because the difference of having two opportunities to make the playoffs, which you have with that 7-8, even if you lose that first game, you still have the failsafe of that second matchup. If we're talking about, I think we mentioned this yesterday, but if we're talking about now the Kings being the 9 seed, and yeah, whoopee, you get a home game in that play-in, in that first play-in situation, but now you have to win two games. That's just a different proposal for this team that we've seen, even though they've played well against good teams, has been very inconsistent from night to night. It's just a really scary proposition in gotta-have-it games for this team to have to play well, as crazy as it sounds, two games in a row might be too many for this Kings team.
Basically, if you don't want to be in that 9 seed, you have to win 2 out of the next 3.
Yes.
If you lose 2 out of the next 3, you will be in the 9 seed because the Lakers are not losing to the Raptors, and they're definitely not losing to the Wizards.
I mean, I wouldn't think so.
Is what the Lakers do, right? It's basically a microcosm of how LeBron plays games. He treats it like a boxer, head body, and he's sitting there waiting, rope-a-doping, and then he turns it on towards the end of the game. That's what they do in the season. Part of that is because of LeBron's age, and part of that is just the fact that that team isn't that good. Mm-hmm. But this is an issue, man, and I'm not trying to get too spicy here on a Tapatio Tuesday, but you do have to ask the question, if you look around the other teams that are struggling to stay out of the play-in and things like that, not to do the off-season thing now, but heading into it when it's staring you in the face and when there are people out there that think that you got leapfrogged by the T-Wolves. And I don't know about the T-Wolves because they made a huge move, but you got leapfrogged by the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah.
The Grizzlies are going to be back next season. The Warriors are probably going to do something. The Lakers are probably going to do something. Can you honestly sit there and say that, I don't want to say nobody, but how can you say that nobody on the Kings team is untouchable
yeah.
if your goal is to win a championship.
No, for
and
sure.
I'm not saying to move anybody, but the idea of somebody, and I know Luka, they're right there, so obviously a Luka Doncic would be untouchable, but besides one, maybe two guys, how can you say that when literally we just had a season where you underachieved? That's yeah. what's so scary about underachieving, because now you're looking and you're thinking, how can you say any of these guys yeah. can't be touched?
Well, I mean, we kind of talked about it with the Warriors, I think, last week, but it definitely applies to the Kings too. I don't even know how much I fully believe it for this exact situation, but I hate to say it, but that is one of the few perks, maybe you could say, of this team possibly falling out and having a spin out at the end of the year is
yeah.
it kind of forces you to face that reality that you're talking about, that, you know what, how can we say that people are off limits, or how can we say, you know, this is the core that's untouchable?
Right.
If you flame out at the end of the year, I think that realistically does make you say, look, we clearly need to change a lot of things around. Maybe if it's not even a lot of things, but we need to make a significant move here so that we don't continue to slide back, so we don't continue to fall behind the rest of the pack. You know, that is, again, that's one of the very, very few perks of if this thing goes wrong, is it does yeah. make the Kings look in the mirror and say, we have to improve. I don't care how you feel about person X, Y, and Z. Every single stone needs to be turned over. Every single thing needs to be explored. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. It's not saying that the Kings are going to trade De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis in the offseason, but it's, hey, if there is a unhappy superstar out there, maybe we need to kick the tires on her, or at least think about what that situation would look like for us.
There's no illusion. Mm-hmm. There's no illusion that this team is one piece or right. whatever pieces away, and you have to decide what is worth protecting. But maybe, and just maybe, you don't have that conversation if you do go on a hot right. streak here and you get to the second round and you convince some people. But if this thing goes south, and it's not going to be easy, but if this thing goes south, then there are going to be some tough conversations. But maybe you don't have to get there if you beat guys and you beat some greats. Okay, you beat a Kawhi Leonard. You beat a Paul George. You go out to Boston and you beat a Jason Tatum. You beat a Jalen Brunson. If you have 8 games to answer a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And that's how we have to look at this thing. When we get back talking some women's college hoops, it was fire last night. And then we get back into some Kings talk. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Caitlin Clark doing her best, whoever you want to call it, impression.
Caitlin Clark impression.
I mean, that was just exactly what everybody was hoping for. And I mean, the timeline on social media, that has to be the best day and look, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but that feels like the best / most exciting day in the history of NCAA women's basketball, right? I mean,
Year's national title was pretty popular.
Okay,
yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's fair. And now I know people were mad at the committee because these games came in the Elite Eight, specifically the rematch of LSU and Iowa. But
they
still got a lot out of it.
I think this is a lot better. You get a whole ramp up into the Final Four.
Yeah, they still got a lot out of it, and Caitlin Clark did not disappoint. She really did do her thing, and you sit there and you watch greatness, and that's exactly what it was. 41 points, and I'm sorry to Haley Van Lith, who got literally cooked on the timeline because she got cooked in the game.
Not her fault.
If anything, Kim Mulkey should have switched some things up. But just a great night for basketball. And I saw a lot of people say, I think Devin Booker's or somebody dropped 50 last night.
He did, yeah.
And nobody was talking about it.
Yeah.
Not one person.
Nah. Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, I always say that, like, greatness, the thing that really, like, sets somebody apart from being really, really good to great / like, you know, a different level of superstar is when people expect you to be great, and then you exceed those expectations. And that's exactly what Caitlin did yesterday. And she yesterday was really, I think it was probably the biggest day of Caitlin's career just because of the amount of expectation going into that game. And you just saw from the beginning, I mean, for those who watched from tip-off on, she was ready. Like, it was not a matter of nerves. Everybody felt the pressure of what that game was. It was the rematch. Everyone was talking about how many viewers there was going to be for that game. And you could just tell, this is just another day for Caitlin Clark. And I think that's one of the few perks that she had of having the season she had of so much attention on her all year long. This was really just another game for her. You didn't feel her ever get tight and miss shots and feel the pressure of the moment. Everything felt like it was so natural for her. And I think that's what makes her truly like a different level of player. There's been some great women's college players here. Even recently, Sabrina, you know, Kelsey Plum was ridiculous in college. But nobody has quite what Caitlin has. And that's just a sense of the moment and just a true command of her flair. Like the shot, the three in transition that she hit in the third quarter where, you know, the ball just came to her and she, no rush at all, just pulled up and knocked it down. She was absolutely incredible last night. That is the full Caitlin Clark experience. And I don't even know what word to use. Impressed doesn't even feel right to say that she lived up and completely owned that moment.
Yeah, and now she gets to take on a UConn team where the stories... Now, Chris, we do this thing on the show where we get upset about the stories.
Sure.
When it comes to draft night and, oh, I balled out. CJ McCollum randomly balls out against the Kings, even though he's faced the Kings 1,000 times. Right. But he balls out, and now all of a sudden, well, they passed on me.
Right.
They did this, they did that. Literally, during the time where Caitlin Clark was coming up, UConn, they were the team. Mm-hmm. And UConn was not checking for Caitlin Clark. There were a lot of teams checking for Caitlin Clark when it was time to be recruited and things like that.
Sure.
UConn was not one of them. So now she gets to face off against UConn in the Final Four.
I can't stand this story, by the way.
Why?
Because it's also like... It's
You're
just,
still in the camp?
No, she's from Iowa. She was never not going to Iowa, and that's why UConn didn't recruit her. But that's
so that's
not,
like
that's
the Trace Jackson,
the,
he dropped to the second round. It's because he told people.
Exactly.
And tell that story, by the way.
Yeah, Trace Jackson Davis essentially was meant... Everyone all year is, the Warriors, so smart, light years ahead. They took Brandon Pachemski. They take Trace Jackson Davis in the second round. What vision. Wow, nobody else saw this as this kind of talent. But the Warriors, their scouting department, second to none. Well, Trace Jackson Davis's agent literally manipulated the draft and said, don't take my client. We're trying to go to the war, and like makes him go to the Warriors. Austin Reeves did literally the same thing, except to get undrafted and then to sign with the Lakers. So,
hey,
you know,
you just got to have a chip on your shoulder, man.
I guess, you know, it's, everybody's got to have a chip on their shoulder. Even Caitlin, who really doesn't need it.
Even Caitlin, and she really showed out last night. And obviously on the other side of that, we talked about Haley Van Lith and Angel Reese, who ended up fouling out. She balled out early.
She could have scored 30, 40 points in that game. Yes. I don't know what, I don't know if it's Ken Mulkey. I don't know if it's the LSU teammates that felt the moment was too big, but Angel Reese could not be stopped.
Yeah.
She looked like Wilt Chamberlain out there with Iowa's bigs. They had no answer for her. I have no idea why they stopped going away from her, because she literally could have scored every single time. I know she went like 1 of 12 or something like that.
She got
in the
ice
second
cold.
Half, but
what did you think about that charge call that fouled her out?
Yeah, I mean, she was the defender was definitely moving. I didn't think it was a charge. It felt like it was a bad call. It really was a bad call. I don't think it ended up ultimately deciding the game. It felt like the game was kind of starting to go in Iowa's momentum at that point. But ideally, you don't make that call. You don't make that as the final foul call, and then that's where. Funny enough, we always complain about it in the NBA, but that would have been a really good time for replay.
It would have been a really good time for replay, but unfortunately, there was no replay. Angel Reese fouls out. They still had a chance at that point, but it felt like Iowa was just a step ahead. Yeah. And offensively, you know, this is the other side of the transfer portal, because Haley Van Lith was one of the most sought after players.
Most,
the most in the league. They all play for Team USA.
Yep.
She's at Louisville. She decides to transfer over. She goes Kevin Durant. Essentially,
yes.
And actually, worse than Kevin Durant, because LSU won.
Yeah.
They literally won the championship. Yep. So she goes over. We're thinking, man, this is going to be crazy. Super and it just team, yep. never clicked.
No.
It didn't look right all season long. And even last night, it just looked disjointed. Yeah. I feel like she took a step back as a scorer. She's out there trying to do whatever it is. Yeah. And that's the other side of the transfer portal.
Sure
sometimes
is.
The grass isn't always greener, but it was definitely green for Caitlin Clark last night. But of course, these games don't come without any drama. And there was some drama last night on and off the court that we will break down and get into when we return. TC, we'll see you. We will take you when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sackdowns. Fieldhouse American Sports Pub. That is where Chris and I will be on Monday for the national championship on the men's side of things. And we'll either be watching NC State or Purdue versus Alabama or UConn. And shout out to NC State and UConn, both schools, their men's and women's going to the Final Four.
Yeah.
What are the chances, especially NC State?
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Very crazy, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty low. I would imagine. I used to be fascinated when I was a kid. I can never come up with an answer. But, like, who holds the crown? It's something I feel like ESPN should really care about. Which college truly holds the crown of having the best? I guess it's tough to do sports department because there are so many. You know, you might dominate in soccer and lacrosse and hockey and not in football and basketball. But really, when it comes to football and basketball, the two biggest or most watched college sports, like, who has the best football basketball program? Like, Ohio State definitely used to have
a lot.
Florida used to definitely back in their day.
I mean, if Alabama wins, even just going to the Final Four, you.
I mean, that's literally a situation where they were so good at football that it has improved their basketball program.
Right. And I can't wait for the summer where we do who out of the teams that no longer have these legendary coaches, who is still built for success?
Yeah.
Is it the Patriots? Is it Alabama? I mean, this is a new horizon. Duke, right? This is a new horizon when it comes to some of these legendary programs and coaches moving on and seeing what's next. We will be joined by Law Murray, who writes for The Athletic and covers the Clippers. That's at 12. So that's going to start our Clippers preview. Obviously, we got pocket watching and Harrison Barnes quotes, a bunch of stuff before them, but Law Murray will join us at 12. He has some great things and some great takes to break down the Clippers. 916-339-1140. Let's get to the phone lines. Our guy TC wants to be part of the conversation. What's up, TC? What you got for us? Chilling,
man.
Just living,
yeah. Just ready for this game tonight. This game is a big game, man, for the Kings, though. But before we start on that, though, let's start with the tournament. I feel bad for Juju, man. She's a dog.
Mm-hmm.
It's some dogs here. I like Caitlin, Juju. Hey, what, to answer what Reese, when I was watching the game last night, they was dropping in, like, that weird zone where Caitlin was kind of sagging off her man, but, like, staying right in the middle to where they couldn't throw it to Reese in the post. You know what I'm saying? But they wasn't, like, Moki wasn't helping them out, but, like, screens. It looked like they were just, like, freelancing. Like, we have 24-hour fitness. Like, hey, Allen, please, bro, let's run this 5-on-5, bro. We trying to get it right now. We ain't running no plays. We just trying to get it. Like, and they wasn't running nothing, bro, so they wasn't helping her. And then Juju, she was super emotional last night, bro. But, hey, she's a dog, though, bro. I like her demeanor.
Yeah. No.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to say it's crazy to watch because, and really that starts the conversation. Thanks for the call, TC. Really, that starts the conversation of, is this sustainable with women's college basketball? If there are people out there that obviously watch, they've been watching this and they say, hey, watch it with the Caitlin Clark is the best player ever. Don't disrespect those who came before. But there is obviously something about Caitlin Clark which has pulled in everyone to a point where college basketball is at a different level. And I do think that storylines matter. I think that last season with the Angel Reese pointing to the finger thing, I think that added to Caitlin Clark's story and added to Angel Reese's story. We'll get into that as well. Now, if you remove all of that and there is no hero, villain type of feeling going on there on both ends, I don't know if it still hits the same. But I feel that it's hard for me to say that women's college basketball will be fine. Fine is probably the right answer. Juju, yeah. We know she's a beast. But will it be like this? I can't say that because we only have seen it with Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
So no, it's not as if, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I definitely think it's going to be tough for it to stay at this level, especially without, you know, I think Juju's only a freshman, so she can maybe continue it. But to build to the level that Caitlin was at, I mean, we've seen great women's college play. Like Candace Parker was a really big name. Yeah. I think it'll probably transition more to that, but I think the focus will still be more on building up these players, and I think that's a big step in the process is that there's just going to be a shift in, hey, we really only talked about this for 5 minutes of our SportsCenter program. Mm-hmm. Maybe it does deserve a whole block here, and I think that's where the shift is going to start to happen, and then it's, of course, going to be on the players to continue to grow the game themselves. Juju's got to, you know, continue to be as public of a face as she is. She's one of the most followed players in the league on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Like, that stuff matters. They're going to have to try and continue to build up these stars, but there's plenty of options out there. I mean, you know, you have Juju out there. I know Texas, who was a one seed this year, they had a really big freshman who was phenomenal. You have Azzy Fudd at Connecticut as well. You have so many good players who will still be in college that you can build around. It's not going to get to the level of Caitlin, but it's building up these players. So, I mean, I would say knowing five women's players is a lot better than where it was 3 or 4 years ago. So it's about the steady incremental progress, and we can't just say next year because there is no Caitlin Clark, oh, the women's game is dead. That was just a blip. You got to give it some runway here to grow.
And you'll need other storylines, right? Now you have Juju's storyline. Yeah. She loses last night.
Right.
Now she'll get to come back as a sophomore.
Exactly.
True freshman, by the way, which is insane.
She's ridiculous.
Now she'll get to come back. So it'll still be around. I don't know that it'll be like this, because whenever something happens for the first time at a level like we're at, then no, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh yeah, they'll be able to replicate and duplicate that. I don't know about that, but either way, it still puts women's college basketball in a better spot than it was a couple years ago, which is really all you could ask for. We do want to get to some of the drama that happened on and off the court. And, you know, we'd be remiss not to mention Angel Reese, who had a lot of things to say. She has a lot of things to say at all times, and she had a lot of things to say last night. She talks about, you know, some of the struggles that she's had, death threats, being sexualized, a lot of different things. And really, you can look at this and say, well, why? I saw a lot of this, Chris, with people saying, well, why is she bringing up this now that they lost? Well, if she brought it up while they were winning, you'd say it was a distraction, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
For all intents and purposes, her college career might be over. I think they have 48 hours to declare, which I don't know why they don't have
that
much time.
I don't think they have to. Okay. I think she just said she was going to announce it after her last game.
There you go. There you go. So possibly she stays, possibly she goes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she had a lot of things to kind of get off of her chest, and other teammates kind of chimed in. Haley Van Litt had chimed in last week. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and have a conversation about women's college basketball and ignore that.
Sure.
That's part of the story too. And I think a lot of people, you know, whether they realize why does Angel Reese bug me so much, or why do I want LSU to lose so badly? And I think it does get a little bit murky with Kim Mulkey and things like that. But the bottom line is, you know, she's what, 21, 22 years old. She was out there. She had a great time. She was doing her thing. When she was winning, she was talking trash. And to me, the fact that she chose this time to bring everything up, that doesn't mean that it wasn't happening. But again, it's over. Mm-hmm. I mean, or it's probably over. At least, at the very least, the season's over.
Exactly.
So now
she's not going to have this spotlight again.
Exactly. So I'm going to tell you guys what I went through.
Yeah.
My guess is that she would have said the same thing whenever their last game of the season was.
Yes.
So if they won the championship, I think she would have been talking the same way, but they lost, and now it turns into, well, no, when y'all were winning, it was all goody.
Right.
But now, so I'm not doing that.
No, and I don't think she's trying to turn it into, not saying you're saying that, but I think people are trying to imply that she's making excuses, and I don't think that's the case at all. I think she's just giving insight to, this has not been an easy season. Like, they were a 3 seed going into this tournament. They won the national championship this year. there's a lot that comes with that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of scrutiny, a lot more attention that you just weren't getting before. She's on commercials now, all that stuff. It plays a factor into how you play on the floor because you think about all that stuff.
Yeah, and for me, I just want everybody to keep the same energy. And yes, they're getting paid now, and Angel Reese is one of the highest NIL earners. Nobody is saying that she's not. But at the same time, these are the same people that get mad. It's just funny to me when people pick and choose when they're for the athletes and when they're not for the athletes.
Right.
So when it's De'Aaron Fox and he's not upset, but is saying, I don't owe y'all anything to the media or however you want to phrase that, then we get comments and everybody is saying, he doesn't owe anybody anything, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
De'Aaron, they can do no wrong as athletes. But then when it's somebody like Andrew Reese, for whatever reason, right, I'm not going to speculate, now all of a sudden it's, oh, just stop it, play basketball, this, that, the third. You have to keep the same energy. That's how I feel about it. The last thing I wanted to get into, and it's crazy, I'm not sitting here and I'm not doing the national anthem thing in 2024. I'm just not doing it. There was basically stuff going around that LSU was not on the floor for the national anthem. Iowa was. I also saw that in the second game, USC nor UConn was on the floor for the national anthem, but nobody talked about that. My feeling on this is we've seen this movie before in 2020. Some people may have been convinced as to, oh, that makes sense or that doesn't make sense. How I feel about this, and not trying to get political here, is that people feel the way they're going to feel. I am not really out in these streets trying to convince anybody of it's cool if you kneel, it's not cool if you kneel. We did that 4 years ago. I don't need to do it now. If you want to get upset about LSU, then me telling you that you shouldn't or somebody telling you that you shouldn't, it doesn't matter. So it's a nothing burger to me because everybody has their stance, and that just is what it is. So I don't think anybody should waste their breath on it. Whatever camp you want to be in, that's probably the camp you were in 4 years ago.
Exactly.
That's just it.
Yep. Nope. I don't really have much to add. I'm totally right there with you. We're not going to change anybody's mind. If I had to guess, if they weren't out there for the anthem, probably wasn't intention. It probably wasn't a message or anything like that.
Let's think about who their coach is.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Let's think about who their coach is.
99.99% sure that Kim Mulkey would not advise her team to do that.
No, yes. Never.
Yes.
Never. That's what they've been doing. They had an LSU, someone who covers LSU, write about it. And
really?
And he spoke and he said they've been doing the same thing all season long.
Really?
But
yeah.
These are the growing pains with growth. More eyes on it. They take things out of context.
Right.
And then it gets to social media and it blows up. But yeah, let's remember who their coach is. I don't think she's the person.
She's not making political statements with basketball. She actually is doing the complete opposite.
Yeah.
Well, she is making some political statements.
Right,
but
right. It's normally in the other
direction.
Yeah,
she believes there's no place for that in basketball.
So had to break that all down. Let's get back into some Kings talk. And De'Aaron Fox, where does he rank amongst the point guards and guards with most minutes? Is it too much? Can he carry the load? We'll talk about it. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Just to pull back the curtain on some of this stuff. So I know when Caitlin Clark, when they won, what was it, the Big Ten tournament? Or what was it when she recreated Kobe? Was that the Big Ten tournament? It was recently.
I think so. That
it must have been, because you wouldn't have done it during the tournament. So Paige Bueckers was asked to do that when they won last night. And she said, it ain't me, dog. That's Kobe. So the photographers wanted Paige to recreate it. So when people get mad at these athletes, hey, why don't you just be, why don't you just copy Kobe or whatever?
Yeah.
Just to peel back the curtain, a lot of times I don't think it's these athletes wanting to do it. I think photographers are giving them ideas.
Do the thing. Yeah.
And Paige said, I'm not going down. I'm not doing that. And maybe that will maybe stop that trend. I feel like you're the type of person that has feelings on that trend.
I mean, it's just, ooh, hold on here. It's kind of breaking news here from Law Murray, our guest that we're having at noon. Clippers rule Kawhi Leonard out tonight.
Let's go.
Out at
Let's
Sacramento.
Go.
So there's
why.
There's
not that I care, but
right
why.
Right knee soreness.
Let's go.
Kawhi back on
it's
his
time.
Stuff, man.
It is time.
So we will definitely have
it
to ask
time.
Law about that. Very, very interesting stuff. But I think we were talking about Paige and and Caitlin. But yeah, I definitely think that. You know, that stuff is, it's a little corny. I definitely think it's, I think for the right person and for the right award, it could be cool. It's a nice nod, especially if you're winning a championship. I don't know if a Big Ten title is necessarily
It's happening
big
too
enough.
Much now.
It's happening too much now. Yeah, everybody, apparently Kobe just took a ton of sad pictures in locker rooms after winning. I know Jordan's got one too where he's like kissing the trophy people make. But it's like, have your own moment, make your own version of that picture.
And to the photographers out there, stop it.
Stop it.
Just
stop
it.
Just take Kodak moments.
Stop putting these athletes in weird situations, all
right? That's right.
Just let it go.
Yes, please.
Just let it go.
They just want the money shot. That's it.
Exactly. And now we'll have to let go of Kawhi.
That's right.
Going to be in Sacramento tonight.
That's
going to
make you feel worse, right? It's got to make you feel worse.
No, not with this. Not with this team. This is a different team now.
That's
a different team
that's
now.
Right. That's
so
right.
That was that team had Malik Monk and Kevin Herter. This is a different team.
That's right.
Who takes care of business.
That's right.
Okay, so it's Paul George. So now Keegan on Paul George.
Yep.
Keon on James Harden. I like that.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And, I think Russ is back now, so that'll be an interesting addition that they didn't have last time these two teams played. We know Dern and Russ like to go at it quite a bit. They definitely have a shared respect for each other, but that definitely shows itself out on the court with
when
some
did
pretty
that
intense
start?
Play. I mean, really since the start of their career, I think it kind of started as like a, hey, Russ is like one of my favorite players kind of thing. And then Russ is weird, Had. Like sometimes he's like, oh, okay, I'm one of your favorite players. Well, I'm going to bust your ass because of it.
Right.
And I think Russ just kind of always had a mutual respect for De'Aaron. There was always the who's the fastest player in the NBA from coast to coast conversation that Russ kind of felt like De'Aaron was stepping on his territory a bit there. And, I think the rest is history on that. De'Aaron has definitely kind of taken that mantle and kept it, though Ja Morant is definitely on his heels. It's a really fun rivalry, and I'm sure Russ is going to play a pretty big factor in tonight's game if Kawhi is going to be out.
This was a couple days ago. With the Clippers going up against the Hornets. So I don't know if it's the Westbrook thing. I don't know. But did you see this clip of Westbrook, don't disrespect my name? Do you understand me? I don't give a bleep.
You're and talking about at the Hornets game the other day with the dude who had the
balloon
hat on?
What are we doing? What are we doing?
Like, Russ, is that really the guy you want to pick? I think that dude has already lost the game of life.
Yeah.
Okay. He's wearing a balloon hat without a child.
For the Hornets.
Sight, okay. Yeah.
For the Hornets.
For the Hornets. Okay. He's at a Hornets Clipper game and he's talking trash to you. He's straight
bad.
Up donkey. Straight up donkey behavior.
And now I'm wondering, and we did this the last time that the Clippers came to Sacramento. The Westbrook thing or Westbrick.
Don't
disrespect him. Would
He's
you advise
it on the
look,
right now.
No, I'm
He's
just
like,
saying that we are very strong. Yeah. We're a very strong show here with a lot of influence. Would you advise the fans of Sacramento to say it? Or do you think it's out of bounds?
I mean
you're not getting kicked out for saying Westbrook.
You shouldn't. I would definitely say you shouldn't. I don't think it's out of bounds. I just think that it upsets Russ in a way that I would not want him upset. I don't have a problem with
you
saying
play
Westbrook.
Better.
I think he would play better because of it. I don't think you need to give Russell Westbrook more fuel than what he already has, but I do think calling him Westbrook does definitely, it's been obvious. It riles him up to a certain point where he's willing to get people kicked out of the game. Maybe it will distract him if it is an entire arena full of it. The Kings, a couple years ago, got in trouble for,
I think it was when
he was still on OKC playing He's Cold as Ice and Russ.
That's crazy.
It was nuts. He complained the next day, and the Kings Entertainment no longer could do it. It was
okay.
A bit annoying.
Okay, well, how about this
it,
one? But, and maybe we'll come back. Yeah. We'll come back with this after the break. But, okay, if you can't play Cold as Ice, can you play She's a Brick House?
Can we do it for somebody who's not on our team? Because they played it for De'Aaron the other day.
That's right.
After he missed a free throw. I don't know what they were doing, but yes, please.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it was crazy. It was De'Aaron missed a free throw, and then it was either throw or a shot.
Yeah, and it was Slamson, and he was stacking up all the bricks, right?
Yeah, it was totally so weird.
While De'Aaron was shooting?
So weird. It wasn't while he was shooting. It was like a... Something happened. There was like a lull for a minute. I can't remember if it was a jump ball or something happened. But yeah, De'Aaron had just shot.
It was a free throw.
It might have been.
That's crazy.
It was really, really strange. It felt like a mistake, but it was also out of pocket. So yeah, I mean, I would think that would be above board. I would hope that that's the very least of what we can do tonight.
Wow. Amid Rock is saying, I guess there was a tech or something like that.
Oh, that definitely might have been it. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't fully aware of what was happening, but I did notice that they were just, yeah, like Simone said, it was Slamson laying bricks, and they played It's a Brick House, or She's a Brick House, and I was like, this doesn't make sense. So hopefully, maybe they just, you know, the finger slipped, and they were saving that for today's game and accidentally played it the other day.
That's insane. There we go.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Russ.
Yeah. That's right.
I'll have to, yeah, get the pen out here.
Westbrook, yeah.
Ow.
Westbrook.
There you go.
House. Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. So
you gotta get some sort of like Ninja Turtle reference in there.
You know? On my account, but if you feel so inclined.
You know, yeah. I mean, I feel like saying Westbrook is fine. He doesn't like it, but like it's not. I mean, he has also like this really. I don't mean to come down his road a ton here, but his whole thing is he's like, it's disrespecting my family name. Like,
yeah, that's right.
And I'm like, brother, like, I guess, but no, it's not. Really not that deep.
It's not.
Really not that deep.
It's not. There's no way he didn't hear that at some point throughout college,
high
school.
But your friends,
his percentage started dropping, and all of a sudden, it bugged him.
Look, it fit. If the shoe fits, man, sorry.
Guys, I realized we didn't call me by my proper name.
That's right.
Simone Brickford.
Brickford.
That's right. Thank you for reminding us, Simone.
That's,
thank you.
I want to hear now.
I'm just also thinking if there's something right. What would mine be? I mean, it's my last name is Styles.
Alan Piles of Bricks.
Okay.
Okay. Too fast on that. Sorry.
Yeah. You've been thinking about that for a while
now. Yeah. I had that
because
one
because it's just like Alan. People will say Alan. You have no style. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a sick. That one but hurts, doesn't it?
I'm just imagining if I was worth what Russell Westbrook was worth.
Right.
And I got to play a game. Not that he didn't work his butt off. I'm not saying that. But I get to play a game. I've made a great career out of my life. Would it bother me if someone found a pretty witty version of my name? It just wouldn't bother me.
This is one of those where, you know, shout out LeBron, who said the quiet part out loud all those years ago and said, you know, I get to go home to a multi-million dollar mansion and, you know, lay my head on a nice comfy pillow, have dinner made for me, and have everybody, you know, ready at my request, and you're gonna go home to your life, whatever that is. You're gonna go do that, but I'm going to go home and do what I just laid out.
And
so,
which, that was crazy
who's really
to
the
say.
Loser?
I mean,
it was insane.
He said the quiet part out loud, and
you're not supposed to say that.
You're not supposed to say that.
You're not supposed to say that ever.
But if Westbrook, I would much rather Westbrook say that
than
you're disrespecting my family name.
Totally.
I don't understand.
It's just too prideful, and it fits Russ's whole, like, tough guy, but actually secretly, to quote another person, Draymond, insecurity speaks volumes.
Yeah.
Like, it speaks more to, hey, you're really, like, just insecure with how your legacy is, which I understand, because I will never understand what it feels like to feel like you're one of the best in your craft and then have people constantly putting you down for it. I hope to never feel that. But, like, you know, it is a bit like, hey, man, forget what the birds say, like, what do your peers say? How do you feel? Like, at some point, you truly are a multimillionaire who has all of these things going for you. You shouldn't let what Joe Schmo has to say really affect anything about your life.
Because when you let people know that it bugs you, that just makes things worse.
Yeah.
That just makes things worse. From Ward on the Sack Chat, Styles missed by Miles.
Yeah, it's just a little wordy, you know?
Right.
It's a little
wordy. It's the two syllables.
Yeah, you got it.
It just, nothing fits better than Westbrook.
Allen's
that's the
name
problem.
Make funnable proof. I think so.
Watt,
I think that's
what's yours? Watt Brick?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I saw somebody have Juju Swatkins, which, like, obviously is a positive, but, like, I'm trying to just even think of, like, play on. There's not much there.
There's not much. It's
you,
just
you know,
sorry,
you could do
Russ.
Chris and. You know, pushing P, you know, you
miss?
Put a P in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
You know.
It's just,
you know.
Sorry,
not to
Russ.
Roast myself, but.
Sorry,
yeah.
Russ.
Yeah. Bust.
It just works.
Yeah, it works so perfectly, man.
From the 916, him getting so mad about being called Westbrook makes me want to say.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course.
Everybody. Because he gets way too. The problem is, it's one thing if he's like, I don't like it. Like, hey, like,
yeah.
It kind of does get under my skin. Like, my grandma, if he starts, you know, explaining the family lineage, but, like, he gets too upset
about
it.
He's got his crest tattooed on his. He's got.
You see
got,
this? What does this say?
What does that say to
you?
Does
that say brick to you? No, it says Brooke.
This is my family crest, and you will not disrespect me. When we return, some A's drama as we await what might break today in the next chapter
besides
of the
rims
A's
because of the bricks.
That's also right. And De'Aaron Fox, we talk about his minutes, whether or not it's sustainable. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.